The Watson Weekly Podcast is sponsored by Mirakl. Because traditional commerce is just code for not growing, it's time to do better than the status quo. Join over 450 retailers who are scaling 6 times faster with AI, automation, and a platform built for what's next. Marketplace, dropship, and retail media at enterprise-grade scale. It's time to accelerate with Mirakl. It's June 9th, 2025, and this is the Watson Weekly, your essential e-commerce digest. Today on our show, Shopify MCP server raises more questions than answers. Could the AI race become a hardware race? Temu half off just in time for summer. And finally, the Investor Minute, which contains 5 items this week from the world of venture capital, acquisitions, and IPOs. But first, in our shopping cart full of news, Shopify MCP server raises more questions than it answers. By releasing an MCP server quickly, Shopify seems to be trying to get ahead of providers that might try and create their own Shopify MCP servers and disintermediate Shopify's own control of various agents. Storefront allows searches, queries, and checkout against an individual store. Global Catalog allows searches across all merchants by trusted agents like Perplexity. Storefront seems like it's designed for companies like Gorgeous and others to build agents that looked and act like Amazon Rufus. Given this is enabled store by store, it seems like the implications are less. It's the Global Catalog which has wider implications. In the tame version, you could just obviate the need for any Shopify merchant to use a third party to provide a data feed and trusted order integration to the LLMs. Which, hey, one less app to buy. All this is happening so quickly, even Shopify admitted at Editions that they're not sure where this is headed. So there could be complications. Having been a channel advisor for many years in my career, there are complex business rules that often determine what products you want to appear where, how data is displayed, which products to exclude, and how to calculate pricing. In short, all the functions that channel management software already provide to marketplaces like Amazon today, you might also want for the LLM connection too. Will this be possible? Separately, will Shopify allow other MCP servers to automate Shopify also? Will they be a reason to? Or is this a Shopify exclusive function? Will individual storefronts be able to override the trusted integration? If there's a bug in that integration providing incorrect information, will a merchant be able to disable themselves? How will trust be incorporated? What will the process be for incorporating trust signals at a storefront, category, and SKU level? How will that interact with the data the LLMs might scrape directly? How will agent-based price quotes work in scenarios where pricing is not so straightforward? And will agents take into account promotions and loyalty programs, and how? What if the Global Catalog data disagrees with other data the LLM scrapes? Who wins? Many questions, few answers. It's still early, but it feels like we're building a messy marketplace here in real time with few guardrails for merchants. In reality, a lot of this is on the LLM themselves. Who will be the first LLM to release a kind of Amazon-like brand registry MCP and A2A or agent-to-agent functionality for brands to police how they show up to other agents? Who will be the first LLM to release a data clean room that brands can access which might contain product and consumer data that's being presented to both users and agents in their interactions? Will agentic funnel spying be possible? Some of these questions could be asked of a normal marketplace, and the line between a scaled global marketplace like Walmart and Amazon and like an OpenAI could blur. Our next story. Could the AI race become a hardware race? The fact that OpenAI acquired Jony Ive's startup is really a warning shot across the bow of all the other AI companies out there. If Jony Ive is going to be creating a suite of hardware devices to harness global intelligence and make it relevant, Fujitsuma will be packaging the software and services that surround these devices. We have companies like Anthropic thinking about how chat interfaces with services like MCP. Google is now thinking about how agents communicate with each other in agent-to-agent communication, yet no one is really going directly to the user to own the experience. The reality is the past is trapped by Google, Android and Chrome, and Apple with the iPhone. OpenAI and others have no chance of owning the future without owning the next hardware stack. While it could be a total boondoggle, turn us all into metaverse gargoyles like the novel Snow Crash, it could also simply be the only way forward. If we're going to do amazing things as a human race, there aren't enough smart humans, and we don't collaborate well enough. hardware is needed to provide better context and turn ambient computing into ambient intelligence that we can all access. Still, the line between the open protocols that are needed, think about like what TCP/IP is for the internet, and the closed knowledge bases that result from the fact that different models like Grok can own different types of data sources than OpenAI, and you have the makings of a real battle happening. How it will turn out is speculation at best by anyone, including those doing the inventing and investing. What we do know is this. Each generation of technology just makes communication more efficient. Figure out how, and you have figured out actually a lot, and it's almost always the killer app. Personalized intelligence may not bring us together. It's just as likely to separate us. Lastly, regardless of how many things agents help us buy, Amazon trucks will likely deliver it to us. Amazon Logistics is likely saying to the agent world, "That's a really nice front end you got there. It's a shame you only have one system to deliver it." And our last story. Temu half off, just in time for summer. De minimis maximus. Since the tariff changes, the situation seemed to be getting a little dire at Temu. The intelligent firm Sensor Tower reported that daily users dropped 58% in May. Yowza. We've always known that de minimis was a de maximis part of Temu's business, but now we know just how much. But as much as de minimis is a part, what really is tipping things over here is something else entirely. Temu slashing ad budgets. You see, Temu is extremely reliant on performance marketing, and ad budgets seem to have been slashed significantly. This is what happens when your business model changes overnight, your selection is cut, conversion rate is then severely impacted, and now there's nothing left over to fund acquisitions. I've spoken here in the past about the disruptive nature of the Temu model. I think there are a lot of folks out there that are hoping Temu is down and stays down. Death spiral activated. To draw some parallels, if you've ever competed on Amazon, you know all about these kinds of competitors. Bid themselves up only to reveal that they either don't have the inventory depth or the profitability to sustain the level of share that they're gaining. In the event of competitors buying the market in your category, sometimes the best course of action is to wait it out and do nothing. In other words, while it pays to monitor the competition, it does not always make sense to compete with all potential competition out there. Overall, I'm not seeing a good path for Temu recovery here. It's that time, friends, for our Investor Minute. We have 5 items on the menu today. First, Stord acquires Ware2Go and announces UPS partnership. Logistics startup Stord has acquired UPS subsidiary Ware2Go, significantly expanding its fulfillment network. This acquisition adds 21 new centers and strengthens its partnership with UPS. The expanded network aims to meet increased e-commerce demand, positioning Stord as one of the largest fulfillment networks on volume and reach. Second, Levi's to sell Dockers to Authentic Brands Group for $311 million. Levi Strauss & Company will sell its Dockers brand to Authentic Brands Group for $311 million with the potential for an additional $80 million earnout. The divestiture enables Levi's to focus on its core business. Dockers, under ABG, is expected to see continued growth, particularly internationally, leveraging ABG's global licensing network. Third, retail merchandising platform Flagship raises $3.75 million in seed funding. Australian retail visual merchandising platform Flagship secured $3.75 million in seed funding for U.S. expansion. The company provides retailers with digital analytics to measure merchandising and performance in physical stores. Flagship enables retailers to optimize product placement and enhance the in-store experience. Fourth, OpenAI buys Jony Ive's design startup for $6.5 billion. OpenAI has announced plans to acquire Jony Ive's startup for $6.5 billion in a reportedly all-equity deal. Ive's design studio, Love From, will operate independently from OpenAI, but will have design and creative responsibilities across the merged company. The acquisition highlights OpenAI's end-to-end intent to create hardware products that showcases its AI software. And finally, Australia's WiseTech acquires E2Open for $2.1 billion. Australian software company WiseTech Global will acquire cloud supply chain software platform E2Open for $2.1 billion, fully funded by debt. The deal offers E2Open shareholders $3.30 per share and expands WiseTech's capabilities in supply chain planning, procurement, trade compliance, and channel management. Did you know that RMW Commerce has another podcast? Check out the Watson Weekend for an unfiltered and lively e-commerce chat each week with me, Rick Watson, my co-host, Jess Lisewski, and an array of interesting guests and topics, all focused on e-commerce. You can find the Watson Weekend by searching for it on iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube. That's all for this week. Till next time, Watsonians. Hi, I'm Rick Watson, CEO and founder of RMW Commerce Consulting and host of the Watson Weekly Podcast, your essential e-commerce digest. Our production partner for the series is Podcast on the Fly. To hear new episodes of the show every Monday morning, subscribe now at rmwcommerce.com/Watson Weekly and wherever you get your podcasts.